All right, good morning, everybody. Can you guys hear me okay? Awesome. So how was the party last night? Who got to do the go-karts? That sounded like fun. I wanted to do that. Sounded like a lot of fun. Well, welcome this morning. Last day of the conference. This morning I get to present MDT, the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, notes from the field, real-world scenarios that I've encountered. And in the hopes that you guys won't make the same mistakes, everything will just go smooth as can be when you install MDT. First of all, my name is Rhonda Layfield. I've been in IT for quite a while now. I should stop counting. I think this is the year I should stop counting how long I've been in it. I did start my career in the U.S. Navy, where I spent 7 years, and took a test, and they said, oh yeah, you'd be good with computers. I said, fine, I'll do anything, and wanted to travel and see the world. I got to live in London for a year. But it's actually been Microsoft and these conferences that have gotten me to travel all around the world, so I kind of like that even better. Don't have to wear a little uniform with a funky little hat. I'm a setup and deployment MVP and a desktop deployment product specialist. Anybody in here who would like to get that certification as a DDPS? This is my last one that I brought with me. Free giveaway at the end. This is actually 16 hours of training, and I used Camtasia on this to show you guys everything. I demo every single thing I talk about. Starts out with the Windows Automated Installation Kit, moves into the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, Windows Deployment Services, and System Center Configuration Manager. So it's pretty much anything you want to know about deployment, it's on this DVD set. So I am going to give one of these away at the end, and if you guys wouldn't mind pulling out a business card or put your name down on a piece of paper, and when the volunteer comes in, I haven't seen him yet. Have you seen him? No. When the volunteer comes in, they're going to come in and pick him up. So if you guys wouldn't mind, just like pass them to one end, and then even just lay them down on the steps there or in front of you. When they come in, they'll be able to pick those up, and I'll do a drawing at the end for this. All right, so what I'm going to cover in this session is I'm going to start with the MDT basics. So those of you who already have it installed, give me about 2 minutes to get everybody else up to speed so they can see how to create a deployment share, how to create that first image they're going to send out, and then we'll get into something a little bit more interesting than just the basics. We'll talk about a master image and a working image and why you would want both. What's the point? Then I'm going to talk about updating images, branch office deployments, and when I talk about branch office deployments, there's two scenarios I want to cover. The first is going to be linked deployment shares, where you can take a portion of your deployment share and put that on a machine locally at a branch office so those local clients can deploy from that local client itself. The reason I'm saying client is because it could actually be a Windows 7 machine. It doesn't have to be a server. Also, you can create an entire deployment and put it on a USB flash drive, or what Microsoft is now calling UFDs. Doesn't need any network connectivity whatsoever. So I'll show you how to build that, how to build a linked deployment share, and then tell you some of the most common issues that people run into when they do these. So setting up MDT, it's pretty simple. These are the supported operating systems you can put MDT on. Notice there are some client OSs up there, so it doesn't have to be a server. I highly recommend putting it on a server because really in the long run, you're going to want to integrate it with WDS, Windows Deployment Service, and that ships as a free role you can install on your server operating systems. So if you go ahead and just from the get-go put MDT on a server, you're one step closer to integration with WDS. Then you're going to download and install the Windows Automated Installation Kit. This guy's huge, so you might want to start it, go to lunch, come back, and hope it's downloaded. It's well over a gig now. Then you'll install Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, create a deployment share, and you'll get an MDT, and I am showing you 2012, but this is beta 1, so things could change by the time this ships from what you're seeing today. So for the first demo, now, I am running on a domain controller. It's got DNS, WDS, and MDT, everything on one box. And yes, you can do this, but in the real world, you probably wouldn't. So you'd want one server that would have WDS and MDT on it, and it wouldn't be a domain controller. I'll open the snap-in. The snap-in is the deployment workbench. And the first thing I'll show you if you haven't seen this is there's a lot of really great information and documents in here for quick start guides. Newsworthy items, things that have changed, and also a list to show you components that are currently installed or components that you could install. And he's taking a while to come up. There we go. So one of the nice things about this is sometimes it's difficult to figure out where to go to get the latest version of a tool. And this isn't just for MDT. You'll see that in here you can also download the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Kit to find out which of your existing hardware can run Windows 7, which can't, and why not. You also have the Application Compatibility Toolkit you can download from in here to check out your applications and get those up and ready for Windows 7. So it's not just MDT tools. This semi-portal can get you to a lot of the deployment tools. We'll close that note up, and I'll show you how to create a deployment share. So the first thing I have to tell it is the name of the folder that I'd like to create the deployment share in. I'm going to put it on a drive other than my operating system, and I'm going to call it AU TechEd. The deployment shared folder name, I'll just make it simple and go with DS1. The share description, I'll stick with MDT deployment share. And then I like to leave these questions set to the default. You're probably going to create more than one deployment share. And if you always use the default settings, they're easy to go back and change later on. But if you change them from the beginning, it gets a little confusing as to which deployment share you set up in which manner. So I want to ask if an image should be captured. During the deployment to a client operating system or a server, I want the wizard to ask me if it should create an image after it's deployed the image. So it would deploy the image, sysprep the machine, boot to a WinPE, and then capture an image of that newly built machine and store it on my MDT server. All this does is give me the option. It will ask. I can still tell it no during the deployment. Do you want to ask the user to set the local admin password? Now, how fun would this be? How many of you guys do this? You let your local users create their own local admin passwords. Nobody. That's good. Notice that it's not checked by default. Ask the user for a product key. You guys hand your product keys out to your users? No, of course not. That one's not selected either. And of course, a couple of these, think about, it's not the end user that's doing the deployment, it might be your IT staff. So maybe you want the IT staff to input product keys or local admin passwords. We get our summary page. It goes out and creates the directory structure for us. And that's it. That's how easy it is to create a deployment share. But what did we actually just create? Let's look in Windows Explorer on the E drive, AU TechEd. So what we've created is this folder structure. Right now, I don't have anything in operating systems. I haven't added any applications, and there's nothing in the boot folder. Pointing that out for a very specific reason. Something else you can do is you can have multiple deployment shares on one server, so there are times where you might want to close the deployment share so you don't have to look at it right now, or you can open a deployment share. And you can have multiple deployment shares open at one time. In fact, I love this, you can copy and paste between them. So if you had added applications to another deployment share, you can copy and paste to add them into your new deployment share if you wanted to. All right, that's it for creating a deployment share and opening a deployment share. The first step after you have your deployment share is you're going to create an image to deploy. So we've got our deployment server set up. These are the supported operating systems that you can deploy, and look, XPSP3 is listed as a supported OS. We still have a few more days, 900 and some odd, for support of XP. The one we're going to use here is Windows 7, and it's going to be the full set of source files from the DVD. So we'll add that as an operating system to the MDT server, deploy it to a machine, sysprep that machine, create an image, and then store the image on the deployment server so that I can deploy that new image that's been created. Because there's a few more things that we added to the image. We added some applications, some third-party drivers, and possibly packages, which would be operating system patches or language packs. Now, over time, you're going to have more than one image that's going to be available for deployment. In fact, you'll probably end up with quite a few. Maybe you have different drivers for different models of machines, applications for different groups of users. There's got to be some way that you can group the components together for different types of deployments. And I think this is one of the biggest strengths of MDT, is I could add Windows 7 operating system one time and then create a task sequence that deploys it in 50 different ways. But I only had to add that install WIM one time, and I'm going to use that in every single one of them, but I have different applications, different drivers that are going to be deployed to my machines. Before you can actually do any deployment, you will have to update that deployment share. And one of the most important things that happens when you update your deployment share is the MDT Windows pre-installation environment gets created. Now, this is a really smart WinPE. It knows the name of the deployment server, and it knows the name of the deployment share it's supposed to connect to. I'm switching servers now. I want to show you a real live deployment share, one that has some stuff in it. So check this out. Over time, you're going to have lots of applications that are listed. You'll have multiple operating systems. You might have some custom WIM images that you've created yourself. You might have the install WIM off of the Windows 7 DVD or Server 2008 R2 SP1 DVD. You're going to have a whole bunch of different types of drivers. Now, I actually did this on purpose. In older versions of MDT, we had to dump all the drivers into one container. But now, and with the last couple versions, we can actually create folders. So this is for the X201. This is the T410. And you can create your folders based on either location or model or anything you come up with. It doesn't matter. And then import your drivers into that folder. It makes it a lot easier for management later on if you want to go in and take some old drivers out and put new ones in. It's nicer to have them in an organized fashion instead of just dumping everything into one great big container. As for task sequences, let me show you what this guy looks like. There are multiple ways that you can tell MDT to install applications. One way, and I really like this way, is to add the applications into your task sequence. And then I like to suppress that page during deployment that says, show me all the applications. Don't show me the applications. I know exactly which applications need to be deployed. So I can come in here and I can add Office 2010, various Adobe products, in-home grown applications, XP Mode, Sun Java, Silverlight, Apple iTunes. There's quite a few applications that I have being installed during this deployment. So what happens is the OS gets laid down, my drivers get injected, and then my applications get installed on top of it. Back over on my original DC where we just created that new deployment share, what I can do is create this folder. And then I can import an operating system. I'm going to go with the full set of source files. Browse to the directory where I have that. I've copied it over. You could point to the root of a DVD if you chose to. Notice this is exactly what the root of a DVD would look like. Tell it OK, and I'm going to tell it to move those so it happens a little bit faster for us. Choose the destination directory name. I'll accept the default it's going to give me. All right, so now we have an operating system that we've added. But it's not in the folder I created, right? So what I can do is highlight that, cut, and paste those guys into the right folder. So you can copy and paste within folders and between deployment shares. So that's kind of a nice feature. Now you guys saw, I chose cut, right? For some reason, it doesn't actually refresh the screen when I cut. So if I do an F5, then they'll go away. So at first, it might appear like you've got the same files in multiple places. But if you just refresh the screen, they'll disappear for you. Adding an application, I can choose to add a new application, one with source files, one without source files, or it's on a different server across the network is my middle selection. And an application bundle would let me set up dependencies. Install application 1 first. If that succeeds, install application 2. If that succeeds, install application 3. If one of them doesn't install successfully, I can tell it to roll them all back so that nothing gets installed. I'm going to choose application with source files. And I had this little teeny tiny baby application, XML Notepad. Have you guys ever used XML Notepad? About 4 people. If you haven't and you're not an XML guru, this is the coolest tool on the planet. It shows you XML files in a graphical interface. It's a free download from Microsoft, little teeny tiny tool. I'll point to where I've got the application. The command line to install it. It's an MSI, so I'll start out with MSI exec /i, XML Notepad, and then do a quiet installation. If I wanted to add some drivers, I could import my drivers. This is really one of the easiest to do. You just point to the folder and it will recurse all the way down. And there you've got a couple drivers added. Now, what can you do with that? I showed you a task sequence already built, but let me show you how easy it is to create your own task sequence. We'll give it a name. I'm going to go with the client task sequence because it's a client operating system. And then it says, well, which OS did you want to add? Let's go with Windows 7 Ultimate. I'm not going to specify a product key at this time. You can if you choose. For Windows 7 2008, this is where you'd put the product key. For XP or 2003 products, this is where you'd put the product key. We'll just stick with this for OS settings. Not going to specify an administrator password at this time. And you have a task sequence. Now think about this for a second. If you haven't set up task sequences before, you could use that same Windows 7, Enterprise, or Ultimate, whatever OS you've added to it. And when you create the task sequence is when you could then open it, go through the task sequence list, which is all the steps that have to be performed in order to get a successful deployment and the order in which they have to be deployed. And then you could add your applications in here just like I did in the previous task sequence. So for install application, I could choose a single application and my XML Notepad. And if I had multiple applications, I could just keep going. Add, give me another application. And notice that every time you do that, it says install application. It's not really helpful. What I like to do is rename that so that I know what application it's actually installing. So I know it's installing XML Notepad. It's not install application 47 times in here. That's not helpful, because then you have to click on each one to see which application it's deploying. Great, thank you. Now when my client gets deployed, I would actually see a list of task sequences that I've created, and I can choose the task sequence that I would like to deploy. Well, that first one I showed you, that big real live task sequence with all the applications in there, that guy took 3.5 hours to deploy. And when I got to this client's office, I went in and they showed me what they'd set up, and this was what they were deploying to all of their client machines. And they thought MDT was a horrible tool. It takes 3.5 hours to deploy this image to every single machine. It's taken us forever to roll this out. So I sat there and I thought, well, wait, that's not right. We need to make this a little bit faster for you. So the first day I was there, we had them blast out what I like to call a master image. And then during the deployment wizard, it'll ask me, do I want to capture an image of that? And I say, yeah, capture an image of that. Create me a custom WIM file. And then put it on the MDT server. The custom WIM image is what I deploy out to the client machines, and that took between 20 and 25 minutes. So the first day I was there, I took their deployments from 3.5 hours down to 25 minutes. So they were pretty happy with that one. But I like to call that guy the master image, and then I call the custom WIM that I'm putting out the working image. That's what I'm actually going to deploy to my clients. So do you really want to walk through the whole deployment wizard every time you do that master build? It's going to be you, probably, updating that master build and creating that custom WIM file. You don't want to walk through the deployment wizard every single time. So what you can do is you can automate that process so that all you have to do is kick it off, go to lunch, long lunch, come back, and you'll have a custom WIM sitting on the MDT server for you. So the nice thing about automating is you can automate to see which deployment wizard pages you'll see during the deployment. Some pages you might want to leave up. Others you might want to suppress. The way you automate the client deployment is by changing the rules of the deployment itself. And they've done a fantastic job with the help file on this. So the brand new deployment share that we've created, if we go look at the rules, I'll go to the properties of the deployment share, the rules tab, and these are some of the settings that help determine which pages I'll see during the deployment wizard. There's some logic and scripts that are happening also that will show me certain pages, but this is where I can tell it what pages I want to see and which ones I don't want to see. So let me show you a rules that's been automated. A little bit more information in there. Stuff like, is it an operating system installation? Yes, it is. Because you can do post-OS tasks using MDT. You can install applications using MDT. You could create a script that does whatever you want it to do and deploy that to your clients, maybe to update virus scanning signatures. We also have the deployment type is going to be a refresh. Skip the computer name, yes. Skip domain membership, yes, and then join the machine to the domain name, domain admin account, or at least an account that can join machines to the domain. I use my domain admin, and the password of super safe, secure password. Easy to remember and easy to type for me. Of course, in the real world, I don't ever do that on my clients. Notice down a bit further, you've got skip capture, yes. Don't show me the page that asks me, do you want to perform a capture? Just do a capture. Do capture, yes. Tell it where you want to put it and what you want to name it. So to find out what settings you can put in here, open the help file, go down to the MDT reference, properties, and property definition. This is your best friend if you want to start automating. And the way I go about this is I'll perform a deployment and I'll just jot down every question it asks me during the deployment. And then I'll come in here and find the appropriate property definition to get rid of that page. But sometimes if you get rid of that page, you might need to give it the information on the next line. Like I can tell it skip time zone equals yes. Well, you have to give it a time zone. So the next line would be time zone equals standard Eastern time or whatever time zone you guys need to put in. So you've got tons of these settings that can be used to automate your deployments. All right, so once you have that master build automated, it's going to generate a custom WIM image for you. Then you'll need to import that custom WIM. How many of you guys have imported a custom WIM image? Okay, about 7, maybe 8, not that many. So I'm going to walk you through it here in just a second. And then you're going to create a task sequence that will deploy that new custom WIM that has all of your applications and everything already injected into it. So what I have on my eDrive is I have a custom WIM image named win7marketing.wim. We'll go back over. As an OS, I'm going to add my custom WIM. Instead of choosing a full set of source files, this time I'm going to choose a custom image file. Now you guys notice there's one more option down there. You can point this to a WDS server and import all of the operating system images from a WDS server. But you can't pick and choose which ones you get, so you either get all of them or none of them. Tell it next. Point to where that custom WIM exists. I'm going to tell it to move it to speed things up a bit here. And one thing that's not inside that custom WIM image is setup.exe and all of its files that it uses for the setup engine. You guys know what the code name was for the setup engine? Does anybody remember that? I kind of liked that it was Panther. You still have like Panther logs and everything when you look at setup files, but that was the code name for it. So you have to tell it where those setup files are. Now we previously added an operating system, a full set of source files. So all I need to do is point to that. There's my AU Tech Ed operating systems folder, and there's the folder name of where we put that full set of source files. Tell it the directory name you're going to accept. And this one's going to take a little bit longer to do because it's copying over all the setup files that it needs as well. And it's importing that custom WIM image into MDT. Now, one thing that I've seen happen a lot is people get excited about being able to create their own custom WIMs. Maybe you did it with ImageX. Maybe you let MDT create the custom WIM image for you. And then they add that custom WIM image into MDT, but they don't tell it where sysprep and setup files reside. You're never going to deploy that image. You must tell it where sysprep and setup files reside in order to deploy a custom WIM image. And there we've imported our new custom image. If I'd like to deploy that out to my clients, create a new task sequence. As a side note, I know none of you like to document, but you're going to end up creating tons of task sequences over a period of time. So to save your own sanity, jot something down here in your task sequence comments. When this image gets deployed, what's supposed to be on the client machine? It'll really help you not get frustrated and confused about what each task sequence is supposed to do. I'm going to stick with the client task sequence. This time I'll choose my custom image. No product key. OS settings. No admin password. You guys see how quick and easy it is to create a task sequence? I think that's one of the greatest strengths of MDT, is I could just put one install.wim on there and deploy that repeatedly, but every time I deploy it, one task sequence would have all the applications for marketing, another task sequence would have applications for the sales department, another task sequence would have applications for managers. So it's really quick and easy, and to make changes later on, you just open the task sequence and swap things in and out. It's very, very different from Windows Deployment Service. WDS, you can only deploy FAT images. So everything has to be inside that image. There is no applications node. So to make a change to those images, you're going to have to blast an image out from WDS, make your changes, create a new image, and then import it back into WDS. One more thing I want to show you while we're in here. Remember I showed you in that brand new deployment share that we created, there was nothing in the boot folder? The first time you update your deployment share, the way you do that is just right-click and choose Update Deployment Share. You get all your WinPEs created. And by default, you'll get 32 and 64-bit WinPEs. I don't know why you'd even use a 64-bit WinPE any longer. If you boot a 32-bit WinPE, you can deploy 32 and 64-bit operating systems. So we really don't need 64-bit WinPEs any longer. What I could do, if I didn't want to create that, because it does take a little bit of time updating the deployment share, I could come in and choose not to even generate the 64-bit. And this will cut down the amount of time it takes to update the deployment share. Then that WinPE is what you're going to take out to your client machines, boot them, they automatically connect to the MDT deployment server and start the deployment wizard for you. The next topic is, if you have that master image, how often do you update it? Well, as often as you need to. Usually it's 3 or 4 times a year. Maybe you want to put new patches in it. Maybe latest, greatest, if a critical patch comes out, you might want to do it. You can also set your MDT clients so that when they do deploy the operating system, they go to your internal WSUS server if you have one. And that's where you'd be storing all of your patches that you've already tested. Everybody tests, right? Tests and have been approved for your client machines. So we already talked a little bit about why not to use that master image. It takes too long. Deploying the working image, 20, 25 minutes, much faster. All right, does anybody have any questions on what I've covered so far?
When you untick the X64 option, next time you rebuild the deployment point, you will clean up those files that had there before, last time you built it?
So if I remove the check mark from the X64 option in the properties of my deployment share, the next time I update my deployment share, will it delete what's there? The 64-bit, it doesn't delete them, but it won't update them.
So if you were trying to fit it on the UFD key or something like that, then you would need to clean it up.
So if you're trying to put it on a UFD key, you would need to clean it up. I'm going to show you exactly what you have to put on a UFD. But the answer would be, if you created the UFD with both 32 and 64, you would need to go in and delete those. But I'll show you there's a lot more that goes into the UFD. All right, now we're going to get into one of the advanced features of MDT, and it's selection profiles. First of all, just a terminology check. When I talk about MDT components, I'm talking about operating systems you've imported, applications, drivers, packages, and task sequences. Those are MDT components. To use some of the advanced features like creating linked deployment shares or that media feature for UFD, you're going to have to create a selection profile which tells it which MDT components you would like to use. Now, selection profiles are a strange animal because what you put in it determines what you're going to do with it. So it's not like you create a selection profile the same way for every single feature. And these are a few of the features why you would create selection profiles: to group drivers and packages you want to inject into your MDT WinPEs, group drivers to inject into an operating system task sequence, control MDT you put in the UFD or the media feature, group MDT components to replicate to local branch machines, which takes us right to local linked deployment shares, LDSs. What we have here is we have a headquarters office in Sydney, and then we've got two branch offices, one in Brisbane, one in Melbourne. And on the Sydney MDT deployment share, I've got all kinds of MDT components already added. So I've got servers and clients in the Sydney office. So I would need to have server and client OSs that have been added, and then various applications for both of those types of clients. I've got different drivers for different machines and task sequences. I can group together just the ones I want and have those copied down to the server on Melbourne. Now there I've also got a server and some desktop OSs, but over in the Brisbane office, I don't have any servers. So I would create different selection profiles. The one that's going to go down to Melbourne would include desktop OSs and server OSs. The selection profile is going to be copied down to Brisbane, would just be desktop OSs. So you pick and choose which components you want to copy down to the local branch offices. Then these local clients will go to a local machine to perform their deployment. And yes, it can be a Windows 7 machine. Ultimately, all this is a shared folder that contains all the files and scripts needed to perform a deployment. So your local clients just map a drive over to that local machine and can perform the deployment from that shared folder. You don't have to have MDT installed on that machine unless you want to make changes to it or you want to allow someone locally to make changes to it. So LDSs let you grab a subset of the components. Mentioned Windows 7 can host an LDS. One of the negative aspects of putting it on Windows 7 is you're not going to be able to utilize any of the WDS features or integrate those guys together. And to create an LDS, you're actually going to start on the target machine on that local Windows 7 machine. Pop over here real quick. On the computer you want to put the LDS, the first thing you need to do is to create a folder and share that folder. And one of the most important things you need to do is make sure you have enough hard drive space for all the components you're going to put down on that local machine. Then you'll create the actual LDS on the MDT server and then replicate the contents. I'm going to go back over to my server. And first, we're going to create, I'm going to close this share, we are going to create a selection profile. And before I do that, I'm going to create a couple new folders. New folder for drivers. Let's do a Lenovo. And let's give it another folder for HP. And one more folder in here. Good old Dell. Under task sequences, I want to create a new folder. I'm just going to do a Win7. And then I'm going to take one of the task sequences that'll deploy Windows 7. I'm going to put that guy into the folder. Now, I'll show you why I just created all those folders. To create a selection profile, you just right-click and choose New Selection Profile. Give it a name. And then you have to choose everything based on the folder structure. So if you had dumped all your operating systems just into one folder, you can't choose a specific operating system. All you can do is choose folders here. So you want to make sure that you put the least amount of stuff in a folder so that this doesn't get gigantic and you're wasting time replicating content to that LDS local machine that you're never going to use. So I'm just going to grab the Adobe folder under Applications, Operating Systems, just to AU Tech Ed. I'm grabbing all my out-of-box drivers. And then for the task sequence, I'll grab the Win7 folder. And there's my new selection profile. To make changes to that, you just open it back up again, and you can deselect or select additional items. In fact, check out, I chose the parent folder for my out-of-box drivers. If I now go into out-of-box drivers and create another folder, Open that selection profile again. See how it's automatically selected? So you don't have to remember to come in. If you did select a parent folder, it'll be automatically selected. If you delete something, you don't have to come back into your selection profile and clean it up. It'll do that for you. So we have a selection profile now. I'm going to go over to my Win7 machine. Create a new folder. You guys notice that I'm naming everything the same thing? It will drive you nuts if you start naming your selection profile one thing, the folder something else, and the link deployment share something else. So I always keep the names the exact same all the way through so I don't get confused later on as to which folder the link deployment share is supposed to be in and which selection profile goes with that LDS. So we've created that guy. Now I'm going to share it. For your users to connect to this, all they need is read access. I'm going to need read and write to actually get the data down there, but then you can change that later on for your users to just use read access. So I've got a folder created. I have it shared. Going back over to my MDT server, I'm going to create a new link deployment share. Where are we going to put it? On that W7 machine. Selection profile I'm going to choose is AU Tech Ed. And then notice, I can choose to merge the selected contents into the target deployment share, or I can replace the contents. Well, the first time I do this, it doesn't really matter which one I choose, but later on, you might just want the changes to be replicated down. So there we've created our linked deployment share, but notice what it named it. Linked 001. Second one would be named linked 002. Anybody want to guess what the third one would be named? There you go. I don't like those names. I want it to be named the same thing as the selection profile and the shared folder on that Windows 7 machine. Then you could right click and choose replicate content. Now this would take quite some time. So what I've done on that Windows 7 machine is I already created a selection profile and I named it Australia. What I have in the boot folder are the MDT WinPEs. What's interesting about that? One of the files inside of your WinPE is called bootstrap.ini. And this file is pretty important, because this is the file in the WinPE that tells your clients the name of the server they're supposed, or the name of the machine they're supposed to go to get their images, and the name of the shared folder. So there's my unk path. So that if I boot the WinPE from the Win7 machine, my clients will go locally to that machine in order to perform the deployment. They won't try to go back up to the corporate headquarters machine. You're also going to notice that in the folder that we've created, there's nothing there. So until I replicate content for the first time, there's not going to be anything there. So what are some problems you can encounter with linked deployment shares? Well, number one, you didn't check to see if there was enough hard drive space, so it errors out a quarter of the way into it. And you've gone to a 2.5-hour lunch because you think it's going to take a while. And you come back and it worked for about 15 minutes and that was it. So you'll still have to go back in and tell it to replicate the content again. And then what happens when you make changes later on? Well, you can always go in and right-click and say replicate content again and choose to merge the changes. Yes?
Do the custom settings, do any rules get replicated to the link deployment share?
Do the custom settings INI rules get copied to the link deployment share? Let's go back to the Windows 7 machine. Just show everybody what he's talking about. So what we had looked at on that rules tab, I didn't tell you the whole story. It's actually showing you what's in a file called the Custom Settings INI, which is in your control folder. So this is what you're going to get, and the answer is yes. That as the LDS does get built, you will get a new Custom Settings INI created.
But is it a copy of the one from the, say, if you customize the share above, does it copy that one down, or does it create, just give you the template?
That's a great question. I've never thought about that. Template, thank you. See, I learn something new every day. You would have to go back in and recustomize it then. All right, so problems we can run into is a lot of the Microsoft documentation talks about to keep these guys in sync, the headquarters, everything from the selection profile, to keep it in sync if any changes happen down on the LDS itself. You can set up replication for DFSR. And the way they walk you through doing it is creating a DFSR replica on the same server and then having it having the LDS created on the same server and then using DFSR to replicate the content down to your LDS. Well, the problem with that is if you do create an LDS and you put it on the same server, that bootstrap INI file is going to point all the client machines to the server it was created on and not the local Windows 7 machine. So you would have to remember that every time the contents was replicated, that bootstrap INI would have to be updated. So I don't like to do that because I don't want to go that direction. Hold on a second. I like to set it up as a scheduled event. So the scheduled event can be a task sequence that is the PowerShell command that actually replicated the contents. So I could come in and manually tell it to replicate content. I don't want to do that. I could set up the first time you replicate content, when it's finished, there will be a little button that says you can view the script. You just copy and paste that into a .ps1 file. That's all I've done here. So now I have my script that runs, which will replicate the content. I didn't have to go figure out how to create this. Then I'm going to go into Server Manager. Has anyone created scheduled events with Server 2008? A couple of you? They've done a pretty sweet job with it, I think. My task scheduler. I can create a basic task. Give it a name. When do I want it to start? Daily, weekly, monthly, run one time only, when the computer starts, when you log on, when a specific event is logged? I think I'll do it weekly. I'm going to do it every Sunday, at about 3 a.m. And I wanted to start a program. Browse to where that program is. That was my little PS1. Now, once you've added those, they don't stay in the same container, so you need to go down to your library if you want to take a look at what you've added. So we've set up a basic task. I could now come in, and there's tons of settings that I could change. Run only when a user's logged on, whether or not a user's logged on. The triggers for how often I want it to run and when I want it to start. The actions. I could tell it to, don't just start a program, but also send me an email or display a message. The conditions for when it's running. You want to start the task if the computer is idle for X amount of time. Start the task only if the computer is on AC power. Your settings, allow the task to be run on demand. Run task as soon as possible after a scheduled start is missed. If the task fails, restart every, and you define how often you want it to try to restart. Stop the task if it runs longer than, if it runs longer than 3 days, I'd say, yeah, you probably want it to stop at some point. I might even go a little bit less than 3 days, probably about, I'd say 4 hours, depending on what's in that selection profile to be replicated down. because there shouldn't be a lot of traffic on your network at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, I wouldn't think. So for that reason, I do like to set it up instead of using DFSR, which DFSR is a fantastic tool, distributed file system replication. You can set up DFSR to replicate contents from one folder to another on machines out there. And the nice way that it does that is it can actually look at 64 bytes of information and see if anything has changed. If nothing has changed, it doesn't replicate the content again. It only changes the files that have been changed. Ah.
We do DFS for every customer because link replication share simply doesn't work outside a lab or outside a data center.
Really? I haven't had any problems with my link deployment shares.
You've been lucky.
Oh, I like being lucky. So if you guys don't know Johan is like, and his cohort here, Michael Nystrom, they are like the deployment gurus. They go in and they script MDT to do anything they want it to do. So he's talking about editing the Bootstrap INI to make sure that you can still use DFSR. They've got a book out. If you guys aren't familiar with this, what's the name of that?
Deployment Fundamentals.
Awesome book. They actually take like a case study and show you every step they did along the way to go in. They customize everything. They do a fantastic job with it. I think you can get that from Amazon. Is that right? All right. I already showed you the demo for replicating LDSs. Let's hit the last topic, deploying OSs from a UFD, the USB flash drive. So what I have here, branch office Sydney, headquarters is Sydney, branch office Brisbane and Newcastle. What I can do is put everything I need for a deployment, an operating system, applications, drivers, patches, task sequences, everything you need. Put that on a UFD. You can put it on external hard drive or a CD as well. And then you can mail that out to these guys. And they could boot from this. It'll boot the MDT WinPE. And then you could automate the entire process to just install whatever task sequence using whichever OS you wanted. In this scenario, it'd be Windows 7 on these client machines, SP1, of course. There are some good and bad that comes into play when you're using UFDs. And really, it's called the media feature. It's not called UFD. So when we get into the MDT and look at it, you'll see it's called media. I wish it were called offline media or standalone media. So you can put it on a CD if it'll fit, DVD if it'll fit. There are ways to break it up and put it on multiple DVDs if you need to. Put it on that USB flash drive or an external hard drive when they get really big. The pros, you don't need any network connectivity whatsoever. The negative is that there's no version control. What I'd really like to see happen is that this dies in 6 months, that it no longer boots. You can't deploy anything from it in 6 months. Because what'll happen is you send this out to your clients, a year and a half, 2 years later, they're like, oh, wait a second. Joe's machine's not working properly. We're going to re-image it with that image we got 2 years ago. It's going to have the wrong application, not updated with drivers, or even patches, maybe.
MDT does not support USB hard drives, only sticks.
Oh.
It may work, it may not work.
I've actually set it up with USB hard drives before.
I also had it fail on me, and it's not supported.
It's not supported. Is that MDT 2012? Or... Does it also depend on the WinPE version because of the way WinPEs renumber the drives?
Yeah, depend on hardware. So if you're lucky, it works. If you're unlucky, it fails.
All right. I've been lucky, really lucky lately. So I have used the USB hard drives many times because it's not uncommon for these guys to be 15, 20 gigs in size when you've got all your applications in there. And a lot of times we just mail the hard drives out. They plug in the hard drive, boot the machine, walk away. 25 minutes later, they have a newly built machine. It is a lot easier to do the UFDs, and you can get them in any size nowadays. I know I can get like a 30 gig for about $12 in the States. It's not a lot of money anymore. So you just have everything right there on that UFD. 60 gigs, getting a little bit more expensive, but they'll come down soon. To create your media, first you have to create a selection profile of what you want to be in that media. Then, within the deployment workbench, that's the DW, right-click media and choose new media, give it a name, choose your selection profile, and then you're going to want to rename the media, because I'll show you what it names it, and then right-click, tell it to update media, and then you can copy the updated media to either UFD or burn the ISO to a DVD if it'll fit. All right, so we're in here with media. I'm going to right-click and choose. Well, you know what? First of all, let's create a new selection profile. This selection profile is going to be AU Tech Ed Media. And then we'll cruise down, choose what it is you'd like to get for your selection profile. There we have our new selection profile. Time to create the media. Right-click, choose new media. The media path. Create a new folder with that same name. Choose my selection profile. And you have the new media created. What's its name? Media 001. So the first thing I like to do is go in there and rename that guy. And then before I update the media content for the first time, you might want to go into the properties and figure out exactly what you want to have created. If you're not going to burn this to a DVD, don't waste time creating the ISO file. It takes a while to happen. If you don't want a 32-bit boot image or you don't want a 64-bit, remove the tick from either one of those boxes. Here are your rules. This is where you can come in and automate how the deployment's going to run. And if you guys haven't seen these settings, this is for your WinPE 32-bit. This is for your WinPE 64-bit. These are the components that get installed in your 32-bit WinPE versus 64-bit. So you have different tabs for 32-bit WinPEs versus 64. So on the General tab, make any changes that you'd like. And then you can right-click and tell it to Update Media Content. That takes a while to happen. So what I have previously created, I have another deployment share that already has one in it. This one I created, AUS Media. We go to the properties of it. I had it set to create an ISO image and to create a 32-bit boot image. So when I right-clicked and chose Update Media Content, anybody want to guess the folder name that goes with the AUS Media? Thank you. I have to do this for myself because after you've created a couple of these, it gets really, really confusing. So there's my AUS media. There's the ISO file that got created. So if I'd like to, I can burn that to a DVD. Or I can open the content folder and copy the entire contents onto that UFD. Then I can take that UFD out, boot from it, and perform my deployment. No network connectivity needed to the MDT server at all. I actually had one client who, they have people all over the United States that don't really have offices. Their job is to go into all the various credit unions and make sure the credit unions are up to par for all of their rules and the way they do everything. So they go out and they do reports on all these credit unions, but they don't have a local office to go to. So how are they going to deploy the new operating system? We set them up with UFDs. So they can just boot their machines, deploy a COS, all the applications they need, and they're up and running in less than 30 minutes. So just a straight copy over. But it can't be just any UFD. There are some things you'll have to do to it. At this point, I think everybody's familiar with disk part. If you're not familiar with disk part, it's kind of like the latest, greatest version of FDisk on steroids. It does a whole lot more than FDisk could ever do for us. And these are your step-by-step instructions. You want to do this from a Windows 7 machine, run disk part. And what I like to do is before I plug in that UFD, I like to do the list disk. That way I can see the numbers of disks that I have. Because you certainly don't want to clean the wrong disk. Then I plug in the UFD, do another list disk, and say, okay, that one must be the right one. You can always look at the sizes, too, to tell which one your UFD is. You need to select the disk. And these are, you don't have to type this whole command out in disk part. The first three characters will work just fine. So SEL space DIS space 2 does the exact same thing as typing this out. We'll clean it. And down here I can do CRE, PAR, PRI. And it does the exact same command as typing out that entire create partition primary. Select that partition, set it to be active, format it NTFS, assign, we'll give it the next available drive letter, exit out of the disk part command utility, and then exit out of the command prompt. That's when you'd want to go into Windows Explorer and copy the entire contents of the content folder for the media you've created. So some of the problems we can run into with both linked deployment shares and media, and I'll admit it, I've actually done these. I've made these mistakes. When you create your selection profile, you might forget one little teeny tiny thing, like an operating system. You forgot to add operating systems. You're not really going to deploy anything if you don't have an OS. Or you forget to grab your task sequence. So when it comes time to run the task sequence, there's nothing to choose. The box is empty. And the first time you look at that, you're like, how could that be empty? Back up for a second. Go look at your selection profile. What components did you tell it to either replicate to an LDS or put inside that media? Those are the two biggest mistakes that I've seen people make and that I've made myself. Does anybody have any questions on linked deployment shares or media? On your LDS, can you pre-stage it? Absolutely. You can send them down a DVD, a hard drive with everything on it, and then just set it up in MDT to point to it. Absolutely. I have a question for you guys. How many of you have used LDSs? One, two. You two don't count. Two of you. How many have used the media feature? I'd say about six people. After seeing this, how many of you are interested in using LDSs? A lot more. How about media? Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, great. That's all I have for you on this one. What we covered was just some basics of MDT, and I know those of you who've been using it for a while, that was pretty boring. Hopefully I gave you enough information on LDSs and media to make it a little more interesting. Talk about the master image build and the working image build. Your images should not be taking 2-3 hours to be deployed. We talked about why you would update your images, and then branch office deployments and deploying from a UFD. When you guys get back to the office, and you're sitting there and you're like, okay, that looked really easy, I'm going to sit down and do this. If you run into any problems, please shoot me an email. I'm going to put some cards out down here. If anybody who just wants a card, I'm going to set them down here so you guys can just come up and grab them. You don't need to stand in line and wait for them. But let me know how your deployments are going when you get back to the office. I love to hear from people that everything worked great, just like you said it would. That's always a good thing to hear, although it doesn't happen all that often. Usually I'll get a lot of questions, and I'm happy to help you out with anything that I can. If you guys fill out evaluations, you get a chance to win this cool little touch mouse. So please, please, please do fill out your evaluations. And you guys have been going around getting scanned by all the little posters they have sitting out there for you. So you can download into the card reader so you can possibly get a mobile device. Schedule Builder, it's the last day. I think you guys have already visited the Schedule Builder. And has anybody been down to look at the ProLiant microserver that shows you cloud services? Really, it's just showing you the hardware that's running all the cloud services. It's pretty cool. And I think, where is it down by the mission control on the showroom floor? So if you guys want to go take a peek at what kind of hardware could actually run cloud services, go take a peek at it. It's pretty cool. They also want to give you a hands up with the Microsoft Virtual Academy today, so you can enroll into that as well. These slide decks will be available. If you don't get them from the conference itself, feel free to email me directly. I've had lots of people already ask for PowerPoints or for certain files that I've shown during a session. If you want to see a custom settings INI that's already automated, I can send you that as well. So anything I can do to help out, please let me know. And on that note, guys, I'm ready for a drawing. It's the last one. Anybody who doesn't win it, you guys can always go to TrainSignal and purchase one yourself. They charge $400 for these. I don't make anything off that. I kind of like doing this because they pay you up front just to do it like a regular job, and I don't have to worry about taking credit cards or international taxes or mailing things or burning DVDs. So I don't actually make anything from this, but I hope whoever gets it enjoys it. How about Dean Stather? All right. Awesome. Dean, come on down. You will be glad to know that my voice is normal on here. But it is still 16 hours of listening to me. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Guys, thank you very much for getting up early this morning and attending my session. I appreciate it. And I hope to see you guys next year.